Some rosy trade data comes with a warning. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. The World Trade Organization says global commerce is off to a strong start in 2018 and likely to continue to grow. Unless, you know what? In a new report this morning, the agency warned countries not to risk that growth by resorting to restrictive trade policies. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker has more.
World trade last year grew at its fastest rate since 2011, the WTO says. It's likely to continue at close to that pace this year, and the organization says preliminary data suggest 2018 has got off to a strong start. But there's a stark warning that the upbeat prediction depends on governments refraining from a cycle of retaliatory trade measures. Against a background of increasing trade tension, especially between the United States and China, the WTO's Director General, Roberto Azevedo, said such a cycle was the last thing the world economy needs. He urged governments to show restraint and settle their differences through dialogue and serious engagement. Global trade growth in the aftermath of the financial crisis has been relatively sluggish by past standards, though it did pick up pace somewhat in 2017.
The BBC's Andrew Walker. And now about those trade tensions between the U.S. and China. A Chinese official said yesterday it's not currently conducting any trade negotiations with the U.S. It also said recent announcements that China would allow foreign firms greater access to its financial and manufacturing industries should not be seen as concessions to the U.S., but they've actually been in the works for a while now. And now let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.1%. S&P and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.4% range, while the Dow future is up 0.3%, or 87 points. One key theme of Mark Zuckerberg's testimony in front of Congress this week, how Facebook should be regulated going forward, in light of revelations that user information was harvested without permission by the data firm Cambridge Analytica. Given Facebook's global reach, this isn't just an American issue. Foreign firms are also grappling with how to limit these kinds of privacy breaches. One of those leaders is Marguerite Vestager, the European Union's Commissioner for Competition. She spoke with Marketplace's David Brancaccio.
You are further along the curve in thinking about public policy and the big tech companies. In what ways do you hope Washington learns from Europe?
Well, of course, it's for you and the U.S. to figure out what you want to do. What we have been thinking over the last couple of years is that we need some citizen-centered rights because we see that people feel that they're out of control, that they don't know what is happening, that they feel powerless. And what we want to do is, of course, to make sure that they know that someone is looking after them when big, big companies might misuse their position, but also to give them rights that are enforceable.
I mean, your job is a promoter of competition, what we Americans call antitrust. Why is protecting, for instance, privacy your issue at all?
Competition law enforcement, as I do, regulation, it has to go hand in hand. You need a competitive, dynamic marketplace. You need the innovation that is driven by competition. And this is why we take such an interest in privacy, also because it shouldn't be a competitive edge for you that you completely disregard the need of each and every one of us to have privacy.
There was an important issue that came up among many in the U.S. Senate this week when the Facebook CEO was on hand. It was the idea that regulation actually favors the bigger dominant companies. If you would listen to this extract of Mark Zuckerberg talking with Senator Dan Sullivan.
I think part of the challenge with regulation in general is that when you add more rules that companies need to follow, that's something that a larger company like ours inherently just has the resources to go do, and that might just be harder for a smaller company getting started to be able to comply with.
More regulation, a greater burden for the smaller upstarts. What are your thoughts, Commissioner?
Well, you know, I'm not in any way in a position to second-guess the motives of Facebook, but we're trying to be very careful with this very fundamental point that regulation should also be doable for smaller businesses. Because if you put too much of a regulatory burden on a small business, they will never, ever be able to compete with the bigger guys. But the thing is that if you don't regulate and sort of frame the market, then competition will never take place. Because then you have just the laws of the jungle and not the laws of democracy that allows competition to thrive and for the smaller one actually to have a fair chance of presenting their services and products to consumers.
That was Marguerite Vestager, EU Commissioner for Competition. You can check out an extended version of that interview at marketplace.org later this morning.
Objective, trustworthy journalism matters. We hear from listeners like you every day that Marketplace helps you understand the financial forces that affect our lives so that you can make better decisions. Now, this is your chance to be part of our efforts to raise economic intelligence across the country. When you support Marketplace today, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. As a nonprofit news organization, we're counting on your help so that we can continue to grow and keep getting better. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount is right for you. You do it by going to marketplace.org.
Tomorrow, JPMorgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo will report earnings for the first few months of the year. And you know what? 2018 is shaping up to be a pretty good one for the big banks. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank tells us why.
Unemployment is low, consumer confidence is high, and those first quarter profits will be padded by tax cuts, says analyst Stephen Bigger at Argus Research.
Banks are one of the biggest beneficiaries of the cuts in corporate tax rates. The average bank, they're going from high 20s or low 30s rates all the way down to a low 20s rate.
The volatility of the market was another boon for big banks, says Morningstar analyst Jim Sinegal. Last year, the S&P 500 only moved 1% up or down on 8 occasions. That's happened 23 times in the first quarter this year.
The big banks make a lot of their money from trading activities, and generally, higher volatility is good for trading.
And don't forget interest rates. The Fed bumped its benchmark rate last month and signaled more hikes to come.
Higher rates basically mean more profits for banks. For a number of years now, the low-rate environment has led banks to make very little money on their assets.
Sinegal says loan growth slowed. Companies held off borrowing last year while waiting on the tax bill. Tomorrow's earnings will show if borrowing is bouncing back. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.